nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Travis Johnson. I'm here today with Tony Pinea. Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. How are you doing, Travis?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. We're using this Zoom to speak across oceans right now because Tony's over in Spain and he's the CEO of Crumble. Tony, tell us a little about Crumble and how it got started.
Yeah, well, Crumble is actually a power app. It's like an add-on that turns inside Trello a bar into a complete system to manage customer relationships. It started as a necessity I had in my previous business, in a real estate business. But as soon as we launched Crumble, we realized that the users are already using Crumble for many different purposes. Like I think that 60% it's in CRM, but they are using for hiring and recruiting. They are using for logistics as well, for order management, customer support, and ticketing, and they have different use cases.
That's really cool. I know so many people that use Trello for project management, but to able to have an application like Crumble to turn it into a CRM and use it for much more than it was originally intended for is fantastic. And the main reason that you're on today and talking about Crumble is that Crumble is free for life for nonprofits. Is that right?
That's it. That's it.
That is so cool. I know people in the nonprofit world, especially startups, they just do not have the working capital to have all the fancy equipment and to have something like Crumble and partner with Trello and it's free for life. That is phenomenal. What brought you to the conclusion that you wanted to give away Crumble free to nonprofit organizations?
It's our way to help our environment and our ecosystem of software. We don't have any chance right now because we are pretty focused on doing software and help the people to grow their business. But well, if you are growing or running a nonprofit organization, even we were free from the very beginning and we are still being free. Obviously there is some paid plans that are going to be launched during this year and the beginning of the next year. But we had some nonprofit organization asking, well, now we know it's free, but I need to take care of my expenses in the future. And if I'm enrolled with the CRM, then it's going to be super hard if it's expensive to change or switch to another one with a lot of learning curve that we spend on this software in Crumble. And we say, well, if you are for a nonprofit organization, you are not paying now, you will pay never. Because you are doing something for the world. And this is our, let's say, part of the cake we are giving to this ecosystem of nonprofit organizations as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. I love your heart for giving. I know you're married and you have a new 8-month-old baby. I know you can't see the video right now, those of you that are listening. But Tony looks pretty good for having an 8-month-old. He doesn't look very worn out just yet.
Yeah, I'm putting every night some creams to try to keep being young, yeah, or at least looking like that.
Yeah. So you got your start in engineering, and you went to school in Germany for that, but then you came over to the U.S. to do some work. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
That was a period where I was traveling like crazy. When I finished my degree here in Spain, you have like almost 6 years of, let's say, for graduating, for getting the master, and then you have to do an special thesis to get like the top of the engineering degree. So, well, I was a student. I did here in the Polytechnic University in Valencia, and I wanted to have the experience of living abroad as well in a in Germany, in Hamburg. So I decided to go there and to move myself there and then starting my thesis. When I came back home, well, I live here. I have been living here all my life in Alicante. Now, the 11th of January, we are like 12 degrees and it's a sunny day. And when you are living abroad, I realize that, well, you are surviving over there, but you are living here actually is where you can enjoy all your life. So I wanted to move, to come back here again. I started with my girlfriend, which is today my my wife. And well, I was looking for a job and I started myself in an engineering company of electronics. And that period, I started to travel a lot, but it was with, we were manufacturing in China. So I was like 27 years old, 26 years old. And I started to travel to different exhibitions and to the, all the companies in Shenzhen, in China. And I was so young. I mean, for that age, the people normally is not traveling so far and for doing the things that I was doing. So I was super lucky. And then I switched myself. I changed my job to another position in an engineering company here in Alicante. And that was what related with food industry. It was also engineering equipment, but was for only for food industry. And we had at the time two different kind of products. Nuts. This is why I spent a lot of time there in California. And also we did some projects in New York as well. And I was traveling to that part of the world, like, yeah, 3 or 4 times per year for sure. And I spent there 1 or 2 weeks going around all the nuts factory that are in from Chico up to San Diego. And the other product we had was related with sesame seeds, with seeds. So we had the main business in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, in Morocco, and all the east side of the world. So yeah, I was traveling like half a month at least from one place to another.
You know, a lot of Americans, they don't get that kind of experience when they get a job or they start a career. They go to college. They might travel for college, but really Americans, because the U.S. is just open to us, we don't really always feel the need to travel, especially young. So I didn't really start traveling until I was into my 30s. And I went and I visited all 50 states. And it wasn't until in the last couple of years that I actually left the country, you know, hit Mexico, Belize, Honduras, and then getting stationed overseas and going to Spain, Italy, Austria, Hungary, Turkey, Egypt, and Dubai before getting to Bahrain. And it is so amazing all the different cultural experiences that you get when you actually travel and you get to see something that's different than what you grew up with. I mean, what are some of the cool things that you learned or epiphanies that you had when you started traveling?
Actually, one of the best things I realized it's or I learned is the first one. It's to be alone. I learned to be alone with myself. Because you are traveling, and I was normally like 70% of the time alone. You are alone in the airport, you are alone in the plane, you are alone in the hotel, in the car. And then, except when you are with clients and you are working, you're alone. So I learned a lot about myself and how to be comfortable with myself being alone. And I also learned that I'm a family guy. I was traveling too much. You are going from airport to airport and you talk with people and all the people, it's amazed about how much to travel and how exciting is your life. And I was absolutely happy and excited when I was with my wife buying something in the supermarket because I never had the time to do it, or when I spend some time at home. So I started to see my life in 1 square meter, I say, because it's the size of the case. Yeah, exactly. And then I realized, well, it was good for some years, but this is not what I want for the rest of my life. So this is all the thing I learned. But yeah, I would say this is like in a in a personal plane. Regarding the cultures, which was more awesome for me or amazing for me, is that humor, it's everywhere the same, let's say. It was for me, yeah, I think I'm a guy that it's tried to be kidding all the time and having fun. And well, when you see that you are talking with different cultures and all the jokes and when you are kidding with them, it's exactly the same that in your culture. That for me was like, well, we have in our core, we have culture and things that are super deep on us, but on the surface, we are super, super similar. It doesn't matter where are you living. So there is always nice and familiar to find a smile in a person from other culture over there. Yeah.
I tell you, I found some of the same things. When I traveled over to Bahrain for the first time, I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, when you look at news media and you see what kind of stories they're printing about what happens in the Middle East, it's kind of, you make you nervous. And I'm sure the news that you see coming out of America might give you caution before coming overseas. And then you get there and you realize they've just got people and families just like you have. There's a little bit of differences, but, you know, you're walking through the mall in a foreign country and there's a kid throwing a fit or a kid asking for candy or all of the same things, no matter where you are. And it was really reassuring for me to know that we're just people. Just no matter where we are, we're just people. We want largely the same things. We want to do, you know, have it better than our parents, and we want our kids to have it better than us, and we want to be reasonably safe and secure, and we want to make enough money to do the things we want to do. Sometimes we want to make more than enough money, but really, we're just people. We're just people, and it's just so wonderful. I love connecting with people from other cultures and people that have, you know, hearts for giving. That's part of what gets me really excited. I spent 5 days in Egypt going to a wedding, and I wasn't sure how I'd be received. First off, I was the only white person in all of Egypt, as far as I could tell. I was there for a wedding. But to hang out with their friends and their family, and we stayed up late playing games, and it was a blast. I had such a great time, and I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I did have to travel. But you enjoy getting back home like I did and having a family. I was away from my family for a year and a half, and you get to come home and you get the hugs and you get the kisses and you feel like you're home. And when you don't have that feeling, it's hard to know how to behave and how to act if you don't know what home is.
But I'm sure that it also happened to you that you are with people that they really love the life they are living. They are traveling from here to there. They have no, they don't belong to, they belong to nowhere. I think you see the difference of, well, who I am and who is this, and I don't want to be like that because it's nothing with me. So yeah, this kind of moments that you determine in your life where you wanna be, actually.
Yeah, I think it's great that no matter what we choose to do or where we choose to live, we get to decide. We get to decide what industry we want to be a part of. We decide if, you know, you want to start your own podcast or if you want to start your own software company. Because no matter what it is, you can learn about it, decide to do it, and then move forward with your life in that fashion. I know many of the listeners were at one point trying to start a nonprofit, and they went through with it and they said, yes, I'm going to make an impact in this area. And I might not know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm going to learn. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to listen to podcasts. I'm going to train. I'm going to train my staff, and I'm going to learn how to do it and do it better. And something like Crumble is a great tool to come in and help them do what they want to achieve because they want to make an impact on the people around them.
When you have passion for what you are doing, and it sounds like a topic, but no, I mean, when you really are doing something, and it doesn't matter how many money or not money you're going to make. I mean, you have something inside and then you start to develop in your own project and it's running. And the rest of things are like, well, I don't care too much. I just want to wake up every day and still doing what I'm doing now, which for me, it's like being on holidays, let's say, when I'm working. And yeah, and regarding the impact, I always wanted to have, obviously, impact around the world. I never thought that soon we will start to have 80% of our users in the United States, because we are from here. And then you get, obviously, when you are creating something, the first you have in your mind, it's a local expansion. And then I will get bigger and I will move forward. But here from the beginning, we started to receive inquiries from Australia, Fiji, Iceland, Hawaii, California, Montreal, I mean, from Canada, from different places, Israel, Russia. So we say, well, that's a global product from the very beginning. I was so super excited. And yeah, I wanted to land in the CRM industry, in the software industry, like a product similar like Trello in terms of how trendy and how hype it has. If you are using Trello, it's cool, and you are talking to all your friends how you are managing your projects, and it's a cool way, and you recommend Trello. And we saw the CRM industry, and I asked myself, why there is not a product that the people is happy to say, look, this is awesome, this has a super nice branding, it's funny, it's easy, it's cool, and I love to use it. And that's how Crumble born. Yeah.
I think that's pretty wonderful. What is on the horizon for Crumble? What do you have planned in this upcoming year to help make Crumble better?
To help make Crumble better? Well, the first, it's obviously working the product. I mean, focus our developers in make a more complete and more solid and a better product. Try to make the Crumble more easy to access to all the different people, because we start having inquiries that when they started to run up the Power App or Crumble, they don't know how to start. So we are focusing ourselves to avoid all blind points that nobody is in a situation that, well, I installed Crumble and I don't know what to do. Where are the Crumble fields or how it works? So this is that we are now mainly focused on don't lose all the potential users that already stand Crumble, making it more easy. We are creating a lot of use cases. So we want to cover all these 15 more use cases during this year. Now it's order management, customer relationship management, hiring and recruiting and contact support. And we want to add 15 more related with, for example, educational ones. Well, many, many different ones that are ongoing to help the user and give value content to start with the platform. And also we have some integrations with Zapier, with MailChimp, with Calendar. I mean, some integration with third-party apps that I think they are going to help a lot to our future users.
What else would you like to say to the listeners here on the Nonprofit Architect?
If you have a nonprofit organization or you are running a nonprofit project, I invite you to visit our webpage. We have a nonprofit blog post where we explain how Crumble is going to be free for life for all the organizations like you have. And we have a super cool video chat where you can set up a meeting of 30 minutes and we can jump together on the meeting and see how our software, our app could help your organizations to grow and to have all the data connected and in a better way.
Perfect, Tony. Hey, thanks so much for being a guest on my show today. It's morning time here. I'm sure it's evening time over in Spain. You're getting ready to wrap up for the day. So thanks so much for hopping on with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.